a lot of people are trying that though.
Why are they trying that?
I've always had the theory that there's people, there's music people, and there's people that like music for what it can give them, whether it's social status, whether it's economically, whether it's just for the gram. do you know what I mean? So I think, because obviously everyone's in a rush with everything, aren't they now? Mm. No matter what it is, you know, whether people are starting up businesses, whether people are doing music, whether people are doing, even in sports, you know, everyone's trying to enhance everything and get to where they want to get quicker than the next person. Mm. It really is, it really is a rat race. The Killer Keller podcast. Killer Keller official.com.
Street Culture TV. Beatbox created.
Killer Keller. And we're here to talk about world music and street culture. Killer Keller podcast.
Send it up. Ladies and gentlemen, Killer Keller Podcast, live and direct, Central London, or as central as you need to be. Our sponsors, the mighty GK Nifty Heads, have a massive 100,000 play-to-earn NFTs to give away to the streets. Just hit the link in the description or go to gknifty.com and get ready for HODL Wars Summer 2024. Inside the house today, Nottingham is in the building. This is a gentleman, you know, on this channel we like to endorse acts that are on the emergence, and we champion them from the get-go, and this is certainly one of the causes. Big shout out to Kong, the artisan, and all the old Poland camp, a new flourishing artist that is about to drop album and science this year. Jay Little's inside the place. Hold tight,
bro, respect, big respect. That's a fantastic intro. I love that.
You're right. I mean, you know, it comes with great warrant, because when you get that intro from a producer, UK producer like Kong the Artisan, yo, that's an entry holder anyone would want.
For real, definitely, man.
What's been going on? How's Nottingham? What's happening?
Nottingham's good. Nottingham's always been good. There's always lots going on.
Yeah.
You know, as you're well aware of, there's always been an elite level of top tier MCs, rappers.
In
abundance.
Let's get into that because obviously you're on the ground. So first of all, we've got Capo. We've got Lee Ramsey, Scorsese. You've got it.
That's it.
I'm just getting the ball rolling.
Yeah, Scorsese, Charisma, Jar Digger, Two Tone, Stan the Boy Wonder, Juggernaut, Vandal Savage.
Crazy.
Yeah, it's trust me, steeped in a deep history of elite penmanship.
Penmanship. See what I'm saying?
Word smithery.
Yo, and I have to say as well, you've got some DJs as well, you know, Mr. Jam.
Mr. Jam, yeah.
And then we got your cousin, Shorty Blitz.
Also from out the Ville, the legendary DJ Fever.
DJ Fever legendary.
Yeah, that's the big bro right there.
Which was before they were out the Ville, it was called
Genius.
Pure Genius.
Come on, man. I know my
old tight Trev, you know it is.
Trev Courtney, Joe Buddha.
Big up Joe Buddha.
Yeah, for real, man.
Man, these are legacy holding names.
Yeah. Still going strong.
Still going strong.
Really? Yeah, definitely.
Talk to me about the scene up there. So, you get like regular club nights and stuff like that up in
Nottingham? I feel like it's in today's climate with like nightlife and things like that. I don't think it is what it was anywhere, really and truly. True. But Joe Buddha, actually, he holds a plethora of different type of niche events that are catered to hip hop in various different ways.
Oh, that's cool.
So he's got his studio, and he's got a great little space where he just holds like live events and kind of like our own little club scene, as it were.
Really?
Yeah. So there's some dope little parties and stuff that go on there for quite a few years now.
Is that how it goes down? Yeah.
Yeah. And so there's that little area. There's a brand by the name of Mim Clothing. Mm-hmm. They also hold like similar events that cater towards whether it's hip hop, jazz, dubstep, those types of things, and it's like its own little underground party scene almost. It's like and I feel like in today's climate also, it's like when it comes to nightclubs, I don't know about what it's like down here as much, but everywhere is just closing down.
Everything's shut off.
It's like the nightclubs slowly coming to an end. But we think on our feet, don't we? That's what we do. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
In this culture, we find ways to, you know, make it work for us, as it were.
I agree. Like, that has been the case in many different generations with the record industry going independent. Then, you know, those moves almost sent signals that transfer into technology. We were being the first ones to get in there. Obviously, Spotify's a different beast now, but we were dealing with SoundCloud and everything, you know, just entrepreneurship. And I think there's something to be said when people use their resources and pull back, very much like Joe Budd is doing, and making a cottage industry of their own.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And also gives them a chance to showcase their own music and stuff.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because he works with a plethora of artists, which, you know, wouldn't necessarily get played in a nightclub and stuff like that. So when people go to just hear good music, there's not really a preference on what it is, as long as it falls under that umbrella of the good music. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so it's it's nice. It's nice, especially summertime. Like now, everyone's coming outside again.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah,
so it's it makes it all the more fun and exciting when everyone's, you know, enjoying the sunshine too. Do you know what I mean?
For sure. sticking with that and the expose of new music. Scenes like Nottingham, I mean, again, you know, just throwing more names out there. Simone, Mr. 4-5, Heavy Bronx.
Do you know what I mean?
So I'm like mad, you know, era-defining rappers and artists. Do you think, like, there's, particularly in the event of, like, clubs closing down, pirate radio going digital, do you think there's enough outlets for, like, new music within certain scenes?
I do and I don't, because I feel like part of me thinks, like, ultimately, if you're one of these types of people that wants to search for new music, I feel like now, with the way that technology is, you're going to know ways to go and find it. But I suppose, like, you know, a lot of people, like, back in the day used to stumble upon new music.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, I guess, finding a balance of how to put them in these places for people that wouldn't necessarily go out of the way to look for new music, but also like to find new music.
Because
even though technology makes things easy, I still think we've probably got a little bit more lazy with how we, do you know what I mean? Because when we talk about even like producers and stuff, it's very rare that I have conversations with producers that will go crate digging, for instance. Do you know what I mean? That's a whole different thing in itself. And I think with, you know, things like Splice and things like that that make it easier to find your samples and stuff like that.
Hell yeah.
You know, like when I talk about people like Fever, actively goes and digs in the crates, and do you know what I mean?
Yeah, so OG level.
Yeah. But then it's funny because, like, there's the reemergence of vinyl now. So, you know, for it to kind of be a foreign concept to new producers to do the crate digging and things like that, it's just one of them. It's, I don't think there's a real out and out answer for that. You know, I think there's people that will want to go and do it, and there's people that will happily stumble upon it, but won't necessarily go out the way.
Discovery is a good...
It is, definitely.
It is, isn't it?
Even like with Spotify and things like that, you have like your little discovery things. I use Spotify frequently myself, but sometimes I might play on the little discovery playlist or whatever.
And surprise yourself.
Just by
the look of an album cover.
Because
I still do that. I still bug out on a art piece of artwork and I was like, yeah, that's a bit of me.
Yeah.
Before even hearing the music.
Yeah. Again, that's... Yeah. And I think that's something that's... you know, it's quite prominent in underground rap at the minute, because some of the cover art you see at the minute, it's like
everything
from the likes of Westside Gunn, the kind of, and Griselda, they make like the artwork a piece of the project itself.
How do they do that? That's crazy. Because it really does embody, you know, he's got like Sonny Jim as well. He's really good at the art.
Shouts out to Sonny Jim. Because
he seems to know what his brand looks like.
Yes, that's the thing, yeah. That's the key for me, knowing what the brand looks like, definitely.
Yeah. I think perhaps Griselda kind of... Well, their influences were Wu-Tang and things like that, but these were brand heavy.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
That's crazy. Because what we're talking about here, psychological means and ways of getting into... getting new audience eyes and ears, isn't it?
Yeah.
And in 2024, whenever you're watching this, because, you know, the struggle's real, doesn't have to be in one particular time. it just takes a little bit of ingenuity and a bit of, you know what I mean? A bit of thinking outside the box.
Yeah, definitely. And that's a big thing for me, obviously, coming from Nottingham. It's a lot different. You don't realise how little there is back home when you come in, it's like everywhere's buzzing, everyone's doing something. There's you know, there's so many different variations of whether it's marketing, promotion, or whatever.
Mm.
And yeah, for me, coming into this space and trying to kind of figure out, like, right, okay, so how do I kind of make a little bit of noise and kind of get people to start, you know, saying my name and get seen a little bit more? Luckily, obviously, with the help of Kong, like, things like that are, you know, a bit easier to kind of obtain, like knowing yourself and stuff like that. But at the same time, it's like you have to kind of sit back and go, right, how do we approach this a little bit differently to kind of stand out without, like, I'm a man that's like, I'm not really trying to do the most for the sake of being seen. But if I'm going to do something strategic, it kind of has to be done tastefully and, you know, make sense in terms of what my character is as a person. Do you know what I mean? And it's fun trying to figure that out. You know, we're in the process of figuring that out. It's, you know, I enjoy doing things like such as this and just, you know, networking, meeting people and just trying to leave a mark wherever I go. But, you know, like you say, it's, there's no rules, but, you know, it would be good to, you know, stumble across something that's like my thing.
Yeah.
You know, you know what I mean? But at the same time, you can't force it.
No.
So it's, yeah, for me, as long as it's organic and it makes sense, I think it just makes sense just trying things, you know? Whatever that may be remains to be seen.
Can you be too ahead of the curve? Could you be too ahead for your own good? If you, say you stumble on something, pre-flavour of the month, pre-genre-defining, pre-sound that is not out there yet. Like, could that have a benefit or negative impact, do you think, on that discovery and the recruitment of eyes and ears and fan base? Hey, it's Killer Keller Podcast. Yo!
You was feeling it when you started. When you
I was
that,
feeling it in my mouth, Vader.
Yeah, boy, that's a tough one, you know. That's a tough one, isn't it? It's I suppose it.
Yeah.
I suppose what is that moment where you identify it and what do you do with it in that moment?
Yeah.
Do you run with it? Do you sit on it and just let it grow its own legs, or do you go, right, this is okay, boom, let's see what this.
Because people create have their own interpretation of shit anyway. If you're kind of winging something on an idea that you're ahead of the curve anyway, then 9 times out of 10, if you ain't patterned up exactly what your package is, then people make their own interpretations and that can lead you astray as well, can't
it? Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Because especially like with music that I've like made throughout the years, to ask somebody, they would probably say, they would put me under the conscious rapper category, which is true in a sense, but not so much as it's preachy. But then on the flip side, I'll smoke all of these rappers.
Yeah.
Do you get what I mean? Yeah. So it's finding the balance and that, and trying to figure out a way. Because even with this project that we've just been working on, there's kind of elements of both of those things without it being from one extreme to the other. Do you know what I mean?
Do you think the tone of the beats exemplify that?
Because,
you know, sometimes...
Yeah.
The aggression,
Yeah, because I don't really make a point of saying, right, I want to make a song about this, and this. It's my reaction to what I feel. To what I hear, like, in terms of how I feel, which leads me to create. So it's like, yeah, for the most part. But then obviously sometimes you can try and flip it on its head when it's something might make you feel a certain way and you think, okay, let's go in a different direction from what people may assume from hearing this soul sample or whatever the case may be. But for the most part, for me, I just go off that undeniable gut feeling.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But
it's fine, those kind of more conscious rappers. Ty, rest in peace.
Yes, rest in peace, Ty, for real.
Example. Very outspoken, highly opinionated, in favour of an audience that want that.
Yes, yeah.
That's a brand in itself, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Because I feel like a lot of people want to be saved. They want to hear that voice that kind of helps them get through to through a hard time and stuff like that.
Yeah,
Trusted
voice.
Yeah. And I think I kind of go into that knowing that, okay, I understand that a lot of people expect that and appreciate that when they do hear my music and stuff like that. But at the same time, I'm no saint. I know that I have my own things that I have to go through and stuff like that. We've got a song kind of about that fighting, that kind of, it's almost like who am I to tell you this, that and the fourth when I've got to deal with this, that and the fourth behind the scenes in my own life. So it's
I want to cast yourself slightly hypocritical.
Yeah.
That's quite hard for people to accept. I think it's quite hard for people to accept that I'm writing it.
Yeah.
Sometimes it becomes a dear diary.
Yes. Yeah. So you have to be. I feel like you have to be careful, because you can kind of, it can become a bit of a pity party when it's a bit of a dear diary type of thing. What I mean?
But then there's people that relate to that. You know, you fill the space in someone's record collection, and that's the key.
Yeah. But yeah, for the most part, man, as long as it's heard and it's felt, even if people aren't going through those things, if they understand it and they can appreciate it, then it's done its job. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Because I believe that when you have, like, you know, when you have these gifts, I feel like you have a certain responsibility, like the old Spider-Man saying, you know, with great power comes great responsibility. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it's true. Like, if you've got a voice and a platform, I think you should use it for the right things, because especially in the climate down here, in terms of what happens on the roads and stuff like that, you know, there's a lot of people that, you know, are echoing the sentiments of people that are into the badness on the roads, mm-hmm. and that's the stuff that catapults and does the 10 million views and is constantly on the radio and stuff. So, you know, I feel like you need that balance of people that kind of go the opposite way.
Bands and acts that have stood the test of time just by having good music, that needs to be, you know, them trying to, you know, magpie a certain style of one genre just because it's the flavour of the month.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Don't work like that because sincerity, authenticity, them sort of words come into question, don't they?
And I feel like when it is like that, it is, like you say, bands that stand the test of time, I feel like a lot of these artists that kind of make this, you've got microwave meals, you've got gourmet meals.
Mm,
do you know what I mean? The gourmet meal takes 4 or 5 hours to cook. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You've got to let that simmer for a piece. The microwave is just a one ping, and that's you can have that right now.
Do you know
what I mean? But in a week's time, that should have been dashed in the bin. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but do you think the dynamics of a new artist lend favour to... Do you think they lend favour to being that broad in your release programme, she's using the food analogy, creating an element of junk food, an element of, ketchup sachet for the short form content. But, you know, then having the gourmet Michelin star kind of... different dynamics that allow for people to consume you in any which way you want. Because they might be busy, you see. They might just only have 5 minute window in their busy gym schedule or something.
So, I understand. I understand.
Oh, it's just an analogy.
Because, you know, I don't think that way. So, ultimately, I don't... I've seen an interview with Rick Rubin and... One of the things in this interview that stood out is like, when you're creating, forget the audience, create for yourself.
Mm.
And
that's true.
Yeah, because I think there's nothing wrong with it. You know, if you've got all the ingredients to succeed and all the resources around you to make these things happen and do a little bit of this and a little bit of that, then, you know, do your thing. But all I know is what I love.
Mm.
Do you get what I mean? So I've only ever wanted to make things that make me feel the way that things that I love do. So I've never really given any time to that analogy that you just gave there, but I understand when people sit back and just try and cater to 4 or 5 different audiences.
Hard, isn't it?
That's hard in itself. And for me, it's like having the cohesion from the start of a project to the end of a project to where there's a feel throughout. And I think, but that's just me. That's not something I think everybody has to do. But, you know, that's just kind of how I like a project to sound, like what I make and what I listen to. I don't know about yourself.
I think, things that I listen to are really broad, but I think what the Rick Rubin effect he's saying, I think holds a lot of weight. Mainly because music should stand the test of time, and you also got to bear in mind that you're going to be playing the shit for the rest of your life if it does blow up, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I feel sorry for people, you know what I mean? Coldplay or Razorlight playing them songs that are just so depressing. give me another music any day. But here's the thing. You have to cultivate music, and I believe that maybe nowadays, the way music is kind of shipped and used for soundtracks to video reels and TikToks and stuff. And you know, we're only talking 2024 here, but it's more of a soundtrack to people's lives. It's more of an art form than a music. Do you know what I mean? Like, music is music.
Yeah. It's that simple, isn't it? Like,
And there is a process Ruben's talking about.
Yeah.
You can't just chop it up and then put it into a food blender, ready mixed in 20 minutes in the microwave.
But a lot of people are trying that, though.
Why are they trying that?
I've always, you know, I've always had the theory that there's people, there's music people, and there's people that like music for what it can give them, whether it's social status, whether it's economically, whether it's just for the gram. do you know what I mean? So I think, because obviously everyone's in a rush with everything, aren't they, now? No matter what it is, you know, whether people are starting up businesses, whether people are doing music, whether people are doing, even in sports, you know, everyone's trying to enhance everything and get to where they want to get quicker than the next person. It really is a rat race out there in every aspect, the way when you actually think about it. There's not a lot of people that really want to take time and hone the craft, and I think that's just from just today's climate, from social media. When you see all these things, you see all these successes every single day. Every time you look on your timeline, everyone's got a success story, and you're just sitting there like,
I'm not a success story.
How do I get to that? Let me just, okay, my man is this guy. Okay, we can do that. But, you know what I'm saying? So it's, but everything, everything's a process. You've got to trust the process.
That's right, you got to trust the process.
I'm an Arsenal fan. I know about trusting the process.
You'll kind of be all right in the neck of the woods. You're not going to get mugged anytime soon. Trusting the process. How much of it do you think, as an artist, you do, you know, like, look at your own actions, what you do in your day-to-day? What are your patterns like? Do you go on YouTube all the time? Is that your source of play? Or, like you say, Spotify... Some people have got a real bug to bear, you know, axe to grind with Spotify, even though they go and listen to music there themselves. I find that interesting, and that sometimes people don't replicate the patterns that they have and expect a different outcome of success. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think this is something that I've learned like recently, like the last couple of years, spending a lot of time down here, just seeing how people are moving, shaking and popping, and everything's done with a purpose. To where, like, when we just, like, romanticise and fantasise about things in Nottingham, that's like, you know, we always have them conversations, like, oh, if we lived in London, we would have bust time ago, and those types of things. We have an idea of... But the hustle and bustle doesn't really exist as much where I'm from. There's not... Everything's not going off around there. There's not the opportunity there. So it's like, now, like, for instance, I'm in position to move around in a certain way in and around certain people. I know that there's a lot of legwork that has to be done. Whereas, you know, when you're back at home, it's like you're just trying to make a little bit of noise so someone hears you from afar, and then you can go and do a little show. But then you just go back and then you're trying to figure out how to replicate that. And I think it's, in terms of like this week, I've got a schedule for the whole week, and I'm just moving around everywhere and doing everything and just trying to network and... that's something I've had to kind of put myself in position to change and take a different approach, because you can't do nothing stood still. Do you get what I mean?
You just kind of triggered my thinking. As you were talking, I was like, well, you coming down here, well, you're coming out of your habitat to us, which is fucking great. I feel like it just needs to be like a central hub in London, I guess, because it's the capital, where whether it's radio or other, there should be slots within that radio station that is purely focused on Nottingham hip-hop, purely focused on Manchester, purely focused on Bristol. Do you know what I mean? And have these moments. Okay, of course, you know, it's always good to have them all integrated, but I think having a central focus that can be... broadcast further out to other people in other towns and cities.
Because, you know, I've been to... Where was I? I was in Cardiff. like back in the last year doing a show and just talking with artists and stuff like that, and it's very similar to Nottingham, even though Cardiff's like a, you know, it's
capital
it's,
itself.
Yeah. But they seem to really struggle, and it's very similar to what it's like in. Don't get me wrong. There's so many good musicians in Nottingham, you know. And there's always events on. There's always showcases and things like that. Yeah. But it doesn't seem to expand from that a lot of the time. And it's no disrespect to anything or anyone, but that's just that. It's just the truth. And when you talk about places like Manchester, Manchester's bubbling. Like Manchester's it's such a dope place.
Crazy.
But it's like where Nottingham is the East Midlands. We're smack bang in the middle. So it's like, it's one of those places where you just kind of pass through. Same with Derby, same with Leicester. You just kind of pass through there to get to where, whether it's Manchester to London.
I love all those towns as well. Like,
yeah, that's what I mean. There's a lot of dope things. And I feel like it's just so easy to overlook, because like when you look at the climate at the minute, down here, you've got artists like, I don't know if you're aware of Young T and Bugsy.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Yeah, so obviously they're from Nottingham, yeah, but they're down here and they're here now. Do you know what I mean? In Leicester, they've got Trillery Banks, but she does her thing here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Obviously, they represent the
city. Is that treacherous to people from outside, in them others? You know, where they migrate to over here? Is that slightly?
No, I think it just
people seems, celebrate like, that.
Yeah, because there's another artist, Brucey. I don't know if you're aware of Brucey.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
That's my guy. Nice. That's my guy. So yeah, so when you kind of see
and
that
Snowy as well.
Yeah, big old Snowy, yeah, of course.
Come.
And kind of when you see that from afar and you know that people are moving in and around certain spaces such as this, you're kind of like, oh yeah, they're doing the thing if they're down there and they're making up a little bit of noise.
Window Kid,
man, like
that's my Window guy. Kid,
that is my that's my guy. Yeah, yeah. Such a character.
Yeah, yeah.
Such,
see, there's so many such people a character. And I just feel like there's I've always had an affliction for Nottingham. Since a youngster, so
yeah,
I rate it, and more power to them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's a big artist, an up and coming artist from Nottingham. Well, she's between Nottingham and Cambridge. Jaya Had a Dream. She's making some serious noise right about now. Big ups to Zooter as well. Produces a lot of her music and the Elements.
Mad.
Yeah. And it's kind of one of those things again. Like she's in a very, very good space at the minute, and she's actively doing things down here. She just got a slot on Glastonbury and stuff like that. So it's kind of, again, going back to the whole, is it treacherous? It's not. You kind of look
and admire and keep it going.
They're doing their thing. If they're in and around
there,
then...
keep it moving.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I agree. It's all about that.
Yeah, so that's kind of my ethos now. It's like you've got to be moving in and around other places. Because the world's...
It's big,
the world's a big place.
The world's big.
So, you know, and it's like... For me, I want to be around the world.
Yeah,
you know, it's obviously people listen to the music in different countries and things like that. But you know, being in them spaces and connecting with the people, doing things like this in a Sweden, in a Spain, or wherever. Do you know what I mean?
So the album is on the way.
The album is on the way. We've not set a date yet. It's coming out on Nolan Poland Records. Shouts out to Con.
Come on.
So the album is called Master. That's MASSA. And that's like broken English for master, like patois. That's what my grandma used to address me as, in my dad and Shorty Blitz and stuff. She'd be like, yes, master. So that's kind of like the thing. So like from that, you know, I kind of peeked it from a few years back, and I thought, you know what, that's actually sick. Like from a kid, I was addressed in such a way. Like, do you know when you kind of, the way that you carry yourself throughout life, like even with, as an MC, it's kind of like the unspoken rule. Like you can't be saying that anyone's better than you. You have to portray yourself as the best ever. You know, master of ceremonies. You have to master the craft, be a master of your own destiny. And then I put peep like, you know, I was called master from a kid. So, you know, we've put this project together, and it's kind of morphed into it. We had a different idea essentially, but it's just morphed into what it is now. It's wrapped up now, and it's crazy. I feel like it's my Illmatic, my Reasonable Doubt. It's a body of work that might shake some things up for real. I have the utmost confidence in what it is that me and Kong have done and what we're doing.
He took that shit.
Yeah. I'm one of them ones.
You've honed your craft.
Yeah,
You know what you're talking about. This is professionalism. It's
yeah.
It's peak. You know what I mean? When people come in with their Magnum Opus? Yeah.
Mm-mm-mm.
You know, this is it.
Yeah.
You know, and more power to that, my brother. Thank you so much for passing through.
No, bro, it's been a pleasure, man.
Yeah, we just chopped it up. Pleasure. Just a casual...
Quick cuppa.
You know what I mean? Big shout out to everybody, Knots and beyond. And more importantly, make sure you check out more of this young man here. We've got a lot of things popping off on the Nolan Poland camp, that's for sure. Big up Kong Artisan and Jay Littles inside the place. And yeah, sharing is caring. Tell a friend to tell a friend. All right, crime don't pay, but neither do they. You stay lucky, people don't talk to him, and I wouldn't. Easy!
Yeah, it was nice, bro.